Hey, we're finishing a three-week series this morning called Eat Your Salad. Come on, would you say that out loud? Eat Your Salad. Really, it's not a sermon or a series on nutrition, although we've talked about that a little bit a couple weeks ago. The benefits of course, salad, the main ingredient of salad is lettuce. And we're not talking really about, again, a nutritional sermon or series where we're talking about the L-E-T-T-U-C-E that you buy at the grocery store. But we're talking about using that word lettuce, but using the word capital L-E-T, second word, capital U-S, let us. And what the Bible says about let us, several times in the Bible, you'll see those two-word combination connected with doing certain things that God wants you doing in your life, but not just singularly, doing it with let us. Let us means a group, people involved, connected, doing something for a kingdom cause. We've been on a journey for the last couple of weeks. We've been looking at Hebrews chapter 10, where there's three scriptures, and they have three separate ingredients of let us involved in this parameter like we're talking about. We found out several weeks ago, it says, let us draw near. Let us draw near to God. It talks about our heart and what we need to be doing. 24 hours a day, you can't read the Bible. 24 hours a day, you can't pray. 24 hours a day, you got to sleep, you got to work. But your heart attitude all the time is drawing near to God. Not just for an individual, but for a church as well. What I have found is that when you go into an environment, a church, a group like ours, or maybe another church, and you sense something going on that's spiritual, you sense, wow, the presence of God is here. Can I tell you one ingredient to that? There is a church that has collectively and corporately decided, let us, we're going to draw near to God. And when us draws near to God, whoo, God's presence is showing up. Can you say amen? It'll happen in your house with a husband and wife, with a family. It can happen in a circle group, a home group that we have going on. When us is connected, God starts showing up in some supernatural ways. So let us draw near. Secondly, we talked about last week, another let us that we need to be doing, is let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. So it told us, it gave us a great, great thought from God that no matter what's going on in your life, you and I need to be the people that hold fast to the Word of God. Because all day long, all throughout your life here on the earth, what you see, what you hear, what you feel might not line up with the Word of God, but the Word of God is true. It's not a lie. God says, I'm not a man that I should lie. I'm not going to repent of what I've said. If I've spoken it, it is absolutely my will, my purpose, my plan for your life. So you're going to have to hold fast to the Word of God. Paul said, having done all to stand, you have to stand on the Word of God because there's somebody or something that's trying to get your grip to be loosened from His Word in your life. And the Word, if it leaves your mouth, it's going to leave your heart. And if it leaves your heart, it can never produce the power that it was designed to produce in your own life. God's Word isn't just for God to have a great day. God's Word is for you to have a great day. Come on, everybody, say amen. He's already having a great day. It's great in heaven. But the power of the Word of God in your life will change every aspect of your life and your loved ones and your realm of influence. So you're going to have to hold fast to the Word of God in the face of opposition, in the face of no feeling, no emotion. Didn't look like anything's going on. We talked about it. You're going to hold fast to your confession of hope without wavering. Because he who promised, come on somebody, is faithful. Come on, say he's faithful. He's faithful. Look with me in the last part that we'll talk about today and finish our series in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. It'll be on the screen behind me. Let's read it out loud. Come on, everybody. 1, 2, 3, read. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let us draw near, we talked about. Let us draw near. And let us hold fast to the Word of God so we can consider one another. Let us consider one another. Forgive me, I'm not an old guy. I think, but I'm creeping up there. You know, I'm 55, I'm not old, I'm not young. I got a lot of life left. If I could say it, maybe you're thinking you can't even talk. But I got a lot of life left. But what I've seen in our generation now, forgive me, younger people, really, really inconsiderate. Just really. I've seen in our generation, you hold a door open for somebody in young generation, and forgive me, young generation, they won't even say thank you. Or you're going through something and it seems like something that should have been learned at home, and it's just inconsiderate. You work with somebody and you do something and so many times people don't even say thank you. Just consider one another in a natural realm, but he's talking about in a spiritual realm. Considering one another. It actually means exhorting one another. Encouraging one another. And if I'm going to exhort you, or I'm going to consider you, I'm going to have to get close enough to you so that we have some kind of relationship so that I can strengthen you. You can strengthen me. Paul says, the writer here in Hebrews says, when you draw near to God, you're going to need that for yourself. You're going to need it for yourself. And you're going to hold fast to the word of God because you're going to need it for yourself. But you're going to have to let us consider one another. And the only way you're going to be able to help one another is if you draw near to God and if you hold fast to the Word of God for yourself. Because I don't know about you, but I've been in some situations that are hairy situations, that people are facing life and death situations. And people are you've probably been there too. Yourself, as I have myself, and helping other people. It's like if the scale just tips just a little bit, they're going another way. I mean, they're going another way. It's a critical time. And so what do you do in those times? You're there called to help somebody, to let us consider one another, that I'm going to be there with you. And I'm not just going to be there with you to wishful thinking and hope you make it. And it'll be a brighter day tomorrow. And just keep your chin up. No, we need to consider one another so that we speak the word of God and we strengthen one another and we pray for one another so that we can empower one another with the word of God and with the spirit of God so they can make it another day. Make it another day. So he says, and he tells us here, the exhortation is amazing. Yet for us, how many would be agreeing with this thought of so many people, including the challenge for all of us, is that we draw near to just natural things and we draw near to just natural help. And yet the Bible says that's not going to really help you when you need something from God. You're going to have to draw near to Him, draw near to the Word, and you're going to have to consider one another. I believe in all my heart, when we get together, and we'll talk about it today, in this environment right here, there's something going on that you can't feel generally. But it's called body life and connection. In my body right now, like yours, I don't know it, but there's like miles of veins in my body carrying nutrition and life. And there's white blood cells carrying out all the bad stuff, and it's chewing up the bad stuff in my body right now. I got white blood cells in my body that are chewing up cancer cells, and I got red blood cells that are working in my body, going stuff. And there's all kind of nervous system, and there's a respiratory system, and there's all this stuff going on up in here, and here I am. And in a body, in a church body, the spiritual body of Christ, when we connect together under the headship of Jesus Christ, even though you can't feel nothing going on, there's something going on. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, there's something going on. Come on, tell them that. There's something going on. Look on the screen. Drawing near to God demands humility. It means I need God. I need to do Him every day. I need to get in the Word every day. I need to pray every day. It demands Him. I lay down my life every day. Holding fast to the Word of God demands discipline. Demands discipline. Because again, my mind, my will, my emotions, something I see, I'm not seeing it, so I got to discipline myself to say what I believe, not say what I feel and think and get off course. And lastly, considering one another demands sacrifice. Humility, discipline, and sacrifice. And sad to say, I think we'd all be pretty much agreeing here that our society is pretty much depleted in these three things. Just a fact, not trying to blast anybody, but most hurting people are so preoccupied with themselves that they really can't consider another. Most hurting people. And hurting, broken people struggle with their own need and really aren't growing in the fact that even in my struggle, I can still consider somebody else. And in my pain, I can help somebody in their pain. But so many times we just get the light shined on ourselves and we think, well, I need help and I'm hurting. And yet what I've seen, even in the church here, I've seen people go through difficulty and keep reaching out, being a blessing to somebody else. And as they're reaching out to somebody else, God's healing them emotionally. God's healing them, a wound in their heart. God's doing something in their life. So the lie of the devil is that if you are not, quote, all together, whatever that means, or you're not wherever you think you should be, the lie of the devil is you just be silent, you just be withdrawn, you just don't connect with anybody else because you really don't have anything to give. That's a lie of the devil. You need to consider one another because let me tell you what, in this church, we need all y'all. Every race, every generation, every age, every person, no matter where your journey is. And so the key for us is not to get our eyes on ourselves, and we'll talk about that today. All throughout the Bible, you see that consider one another. You don't necessarily see those that word picture together. But like, for instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul is writing to a church at Corinth. And he uses the body example, the body analogy. And he says, if everybody was a hand, where would the foot be? And he says, if everybody was an eye, where would the ear be? And he says, if you're a hand, you're a great hand, but you can't go anywhere. You can't travel. You need a foot. And if you're an ear, that's great. You can hear, but you can't see anywhere to go because you're not an eye. And he says, everybody needs one another, so you got to consider other people. You got to be considering others in the body that you're connected with at Corinth and in every church. And then in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about what needs to be happening in the life of a body as we consider one another. The whole chapter is about love. He says you got to be patient with one another. You got to be long-suffering with one another. You got to forgive one another. You got to think the best about one another. Because if you don't, even though you're connected, you'll be mad at everybody. A lot of families, even though they're connected by blood, are mad at one another. And so the life source of a natural family is severed. How much more so in a spiritual setting with the church? God wants you connected. He talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. When he again, chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14. And Paul talks about the power of the Spirit working in people's lives and talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking with other tongues. And we believe that around here. But he says when you come into a corporate setting, Paul says, I'd rather speak 10,000 words in my known language than in an unknown language because people won't understand what I'm saying. So he says, in this setting, it's not that you're speaking in tongues and drawing attention to yourself. He says, because you've got to consider one another. And like we did last week, had a crazy service, amazing. If you missed last Sunday night, man, where were you? Wow, we had Israel Campbell up in here, that crazy white man. It was crazy. Prophetic words were given to people. People got bondages broken, severed off their life. Listen, what I'm saying is when guests come in, you got to consider your own life. Your own life. So he says here, consider one another. Consider. So we do that. We need to keep growing in that. Let us draw near. Let us hold fast. Let us consider. The first place we need to consider one another, I believe, is in the home. Where a husband, as the head of the house, God says, lovingly submits himself under God's rulership and God's dominion, gives his life to Jesus Christ, and the husband then is married to his wife, and he lovingly leads her. And so the Bible says that he needs to look at his wife and he needs to treat her with honor, and he needs to live in this marital relationship, Peter says, with understanding. And then the wife, Paul writes in Ephesians 5, he says the wife needs to honor and respect and defer to her husband. And the husband needs to wash the wife with the water of the word. What that means is that the husband, he's got a prayer life that he prays for his wife. And he's considering the word. And he's considering she works and she's got schedule. And she's, you know, cleaning clothes. And so he's considering her and trying to help her and bless her and ease the pain off her life and ease the time constrictions off her life, so that in the home we consider one another. And then when kids come from that fruitful relationship, the parents have to teach the kids to consider one another. It's not all about you, and it's not all about just your thing, that we're a family here together, and we work together, and we believe together, and we're fortunate. And if anybody's going to have anybody's back, it's going to be us here up in this family. Don't let me show you my family tattoo. Isabel's on my back. Crazy story in the book of Genesis. Y'all remember Noah? He had a movie out recently. It wasn't real good, but I didn't know he was still living. But the Bible says after the flood and all that, the ark stopped. They came out dry ground, and the Bible says Noah began becoming a farmer. He planted a vineyard, and it doesn't tell us how, and doesn't tell us how long and when the whole thing happened. But Noah planted a vineyard, and he began to get the grapes from the vineyard. And how it happened, we don't know, but we do know this. Grapes, if they're going to ferment, take time. Well, the Bible says Noah drank from whatever he produced, and he got drunk. And he got so drunk, he lost his mind. How can you tell he lost his mind? Because he went in his tent, and he passed out naked. I love reading the Bible. Come on. Come on, the Bible's like PG-13. Come on, everybody. He passed out naked. And so that just tells me right there, I checked that box. If you drink, you might pass out naked. So you probably just shouldn't drink. Just happy Mother's Day, everybody. Wow. I just would avoid that. But the Bible says that Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, Japheth. And it doesn't tell us all that happened. When you read the story, you go, what happened? But the Bible says Ham, the son, saw his daddy naked in the tent. And it says he told his brothers. That's all it says. He told his brothers. But the other two brothers, you know what they did? They grabbed a blanket and they walked into the tent backwards, considering their father, even maybe in his sin. Dropped the blanket on daddy and left. They didn't want to see and expose their daddy's nakedness. You know what that's called? Considering one another. When daddy woke up, daddy heard about what Ham did. And the Bible says Ham was cursed. He didn't consider. So something happens in the home. We got to teach our kids this. Come on, everybody. I need a little bit better amen. Come on, everybody. Amen. We need to teach our kids this, to consider the family relationship. You need to consider mom, dad. You need to help your kids do that. Wives, your kids, don't be lipping off. Don't be kind of messing with dad or whatever. You need to consider dad. And he's working hard. And you need to be working that in the house. And kids, we need to consider one another so that the scripture is working in our lives and we can let us consider one another. And of course, he's not necessarily talking about specifically the home life. He's talking about what we do in the church. Let's talk about that. We need to consider the older generation. It's what we need to be doing. We need to honor them, respect them, serve them, love them, thank them. We need to be considering your generation, whatever generation you're from. We need to challenge them, accept them, live among them, and pray for them. It's your generation. Pray for your generation. Thirdly, we need to consider the next generation. We need to plan for them. We need to resource them. We need to encourage them. We need to exhort them to be all that God's called them to be. This is what we do, is we consider others. It's crazy in this next generation kind of thought. There's a scripture in the book of Isaiah, and it's talking about a king named Hezekiah. And this king had it going on, man. This king, he was a player, if you will, back in the day. And he defeated some enemies, and God saved his life and gave him 15 more years to live. It's an amazing story. But the Bible says one time that there was a king that came from a foreign country, and he tricked this king Hezekiah because he wasn't coming just as a friend. He was coming to spy out everything going on in his kingdom. And the Bible says that King Hezekiah did something he should have never done. He showed the other king everything that was in his house. He showed him all his armory. He showed him all his goods, all his treasure. He showed him everything. Crazy. You know, can I just tell you, you don't need to be telling anybody all your business besides your family. And the prophet Isaiah came afterwards and said, what'd you do? Where'd that guy come from? And he said, well, he came from a foreign country. And I told him everything in my house. And Isaiah says, man, you're a fool. Why'd y'all do that? He's tricking you. And he said, here's what's going to happen. He's going to come in one day. And he's going to, not in your generation, but in your kids' generation, he's going to take it all. He's going to take all your stuff and take it back to that foreign country. You know what Hezekiah says? Good. At least it won't happen in my generation. When I read that in the Bible, I want to hit Hezekiah in the face. And I want to say, man, you don't care for the next generation. So parents, come on. I don't care if they got baggy pants on. I don't care if they're tatted up and inked up. I don't care if they got pink and green and blue. Come on, somebody. Let's love the next generation. Can I get a better amen up in here? Let's love the next generation. Somebody loved you when you were younger. Come on, somebody believed for you when you were younger. Let's make sure we consider them as well. It tells us here two things to do. Let us consider one another in order, he says this, to stir up love. To stir up love. This is the heart attitude we need to have with others. Stir up love. I'm going to believe God. I want to stir up love in your life. I want to challenge you. I don't want to put you down. I don't want to neglect you. I don't want to not believe in you. I'm going to stir up love in your life. In fact, when you read the book of Titus, Titus is a pastor. And Paul wrote the letter to the brother and to give to the whole church. And he said, listen, Titus, what you got to do is you got to teach the older women to teach the younger women how to love their husbands. Because even in that culture, love just seems like it wasn't working in their lives. And so we have to stir up one another to walk in love. And if your love's not stirred, it's going to get cold. And if it's just not happen in your life, where you'll just look at people and say, what's the use? And what's the point? And they don't believe me and they're not getting it anyway. You need to stir up love. Love, it says in 1 Corinthians, believes all things. Hopes all things. Come on, somebody. If you got the love of God working in your life, you ain't never going to quit on nobody. Come on, everybody. You're just never going to quit. So the love of God, he says, stir up love. Stir up love. Let love work in relationships with one another. He says, stir up love, but then he also says, stir up good works. Stir up good works. Let us consider one another, not, he says, in order to stir up. Come on, stir it up. Stir it just like you do a pot. Some of y'all are going to be cooking some soup later on. You stir it up. Stir up love and stir up good works. Challenge one another to work and use the gift, talent, and ability they have in their life for kingdom cause. Stir up. What are you doing for the kingdom of God? What are you doing for the kingdom of God? Maybe you can't tell somebody you don't know that, but you can tell somebody that you have a relationship with that. Come on, let's serve God together. Let's do something great together. Come on, what are you doing in your life? It's just not all about you. It needs to be about a kingdom purpose in your life. Look at this great scripture. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 through 11. God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Look at that. Each one, everybody in the room, you have been given something by God. Use them. Them what? Them gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God Himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Then do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. Notice what he says, that this part right here before the end. Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Now, you know, I firmly believe that when you go to work tomorrow, that there is going to be strength and energy that God supplies you to do that natural job. But this isn't what he's talking about. He's talking about when you come in the kingdom of God, as you consider one another, as you draw near to God, let us, and as you let us hold fast to the Word of God, not letting your confession, what God's told you from His Word, to be realized in your life, that then you will enter into, and should enter into, considering one another, using your gift, talent, and ability for the kingdom of Christ, but the strength behind what you do comes from God. I don't believe that there's necessarily a different kind of strength. I believe it's manifested in a different way at work God will empower you. He'll envision you. He'll strengthen you. He'll give you favor. He'll give you great grace. He'll give you divine ability to do whatever you do naturally. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, there is not only that working, but something multiplied because you're working solely and directly out of the God-given grace He's given you. So the question is, what are you doing? What are you doing for God? What are you doing with the will of God? What are you doing with the purpose of God? What are you doing with what He's deposited inside you? There's a guy in the Old Testament named Boaz. That's where we got the name for our food ministry, Boaz. It's a guy's name. This guy had it going on. He was a farmer, a rancher, a very wealthy Jewish businessman. But he was so concerned with helping people that he wasn't only concerned about profit and the bottom line and about his market share going up. He was concerned about being a blessing to other people. And there was a woman who showed up who lost her husband. And she was with her daughter-in-law who lost her husband. Sons come to his field. And the Bible says Boaz saw them and told the people that were gathering the harvest, leave some in the field for these women to bring home so that they could be fed. What's he doing? He's considering others with a natural resource that he's been given. You and I have been given something spiritual and supernatural from God that if we will begin using it, hear me, and begin releasing it through us, God will begin multiplying what you have. Whatever realm that is. Then he tells us here, let us stir up love and good works. But then he says something amazing here in Hebrews 10, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. It's an amazing part of the scripture there. Stir up love, consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. But then he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And then he uses the phrase, as is the manner of some. So in other words, way back here, let's say a couple thousand years ago when this Bible was written and this chapter was written in Hebrews, people not connecting together, not considering one another, was happening back then as maybe it is today. And so he says, you're going to have to make sure that you connect together. And he says, assembling together. He uses that phrase, assemble. You know this thing that we call the church? Is actually in the Greek, in the Old Testament, the Greek in the New Testament, it uses a phrase and it's called the ekklesia. That's the Greek word, ekklesia. It means the called out and assemble. In other words, God calls you out of darkness. God calls you out of your house. God summons you out of your house and He connects you in a body. Come on, come on everybody. So like, come on, you know, the neck bone connected to the backbone. Come on, we all need to be connected, right? And so a body without a head is dead. And so Jesus is the head. He's given life. He's given direction to the body. But we need to be connected one to another. We need to be assembled one to another. Has anybody at Christmas, maybe you dads, putting together stuff has never been my forte. So there's been some times when we were young, Kimberly and I, we've got four kids. And so we've been through, some challenging times at Christmas time. We bought toys for the kids. And it says on that side of that box, some assembly required. How many know if it says some assembly required? You just said you're going to be up all night. Come on, somebody. And you're going to put that thing together. Oh, man. And that's like our lives. Assembled together. All the parts are in the box. But if you don't get assembled, you don't get the benefit of what somebody else has to give. And what happens if you're the battery? Even though it's all assembled, if you're the battery and you're not assembled, you're not giving power to the toy. So the power connected in a local church as we all assemble together is amazing. And one of the steps that we've got in our local church isn't just a Sunday gathering. Because listen to me, I use Sunday morning. I think this is kind of like the Super Bowl. Every Sunday, I tell everybody, every Sunday for me is like a Super Bowl. I get to see you, we preach, man, we all join together, we worship God, which is amazing. Come on, I love it every single week. I wish somebody else would get happy about it, dear Lord. Man, I want to shave my head or something like that. Wow. Man. But it's not only a Sunday morning, but what happens during the week? What happens, let me tell you, what happens to make this thing go, if you will, can I just talk? It's just so many people coming and connecting. You know, like on a like this morning, you know, I was laying in bed. I rode a long time on my bike yesterday, so I was a little bit tired. And all of a sudden I hear, guess what's going on at 5:15? Pastor Kimberly's alarm's going off. Dear Lord, 5:15, Sunday morning. What you doing, woman? I'm getting up. Time to go to church. I got 5:15. Somebody give me a coffee up in here. And just like so many, the sound guys, tech guys, people coming in, all children's workers, all come sacrificing, ushers, greeters, coordinators, coming so we can serve. People can serve. Why? Not just for themselves, but because they are considering, help me, one another. One another. And so our pathway for considering one another is that we ask you, you know, connected with the church. Go through Foundations 101. Go through Foundations 101. 2-week class, get you connected in the church. Take a membership class. It just means you're connected to us. We're connected to you. And then with that too, or even besides all that, can I just tell you, you need to join a circle. You need to get in a circle. What's a circle? A circle is our small groups. They meet twice a month. We just decided about, you know, 8, 10, 12, 12 weeks ago, 14, 16 weeks ago, we just decided, you know, hey, our Wednesday night, we just don't have a whole lot of traction on Wednesday night. People working, people tired, people got kids, all that stuff. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to have one Wednesday night service, the last Wednesday night of the month, that we want to say, everybody, you need to come to one time a month. But beyond that, y'all need to get in a circle. You need to get in a small group. All across the community, we have people that have opened up their homes. And let me tell you what, we are having an amazing time in circles. And there's a couple of pictures of some guys, you know, I don't know if you've seen them. We got some pictures up here, I think. We got them going. Girls back in the back. Or not girls, Mike's back there too. Sorry, Mike. We got some pictures. Look, there's a circle. Look at all these people. Look at them. Man, I'm telling you what, there's another circle. Wow, that's a guy in Carmina's house. There's another circle out in Santee. Here's another circle. I think that might be another one we got of those guys. There's Jim and Rosie's right here, a bunch of these good-looking people here. Look at them all happy. Happy. I know we've got several others, but we just don't have the pictures right now. Listen, you need to get in a circle. Why? Because you've got something to give. And you've got something to receive. And you're going to get connected, and God's going to do something in your life He hasn't been able to do up until now. Maybe because you've not let us consider one another. And I don't feel too good about myself. I don't feel too good about my situation. And I don't really think I have anything to give. Booyah. Whatever that means. I don't know what that means. If you're in this church, which you are this morning, if you don't have a home church, why don't you be with us? Connect with us. And let's see God do something in you that might be dormant, that might have been neglected. Maybe you were on fire before, and for whatever reason, something happened in your life. Get connected, join a circle, and let's see God do something amazing in your life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I really believe this, that you need to develop good friends in this church. It's going to promote emotional health, natural health, and spiritual health. Healthy and growing people hang out. Healthy and growing people hang out. And let me just tell you, if you're not hanging out with people in this church, I just flat out tell you, you're just missing the boat. You're missing the boat. If all you do is hang out with your work people, you're missing the boat. If all you hang out with is just, you know, your quote friends who don't go to church, I think you need some of that. But you're just missing the boat. Because something happens in the church. It's called a spiritual joining. Look at this scripture here. Work with me just a few more minutes here. Y'all doing real good. 1 Peter 2:9. Notice what it says. You're a chosen people, a royal priest. You're a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, it says here, you can show others the goodness of God, for He called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Notice what it says. God, this is what God says you are on a good day and a bad day. When you got money in the bank, when you don't have money in the bank. When things are going great at work, when things are going challenging at work, He says you're chosen, you're royal, you're holy, you're God's possession. So all around you right now, everybody that's made Jesus Christ the Lord of life, this is who they are. They're chosen, they're royal, they're holy, they're God's possession. And you can't tell me you can't get around that environment and it not get off on you. You can't get around a bunch of winners and not start winning. like they said, natural phrase, but you'll get it. You can't fly with the eagles if you hang around all the chickens. So if all my relationships are just natural, my drinking buddies, my high school buddies, come on now, my bros. I didn't know what they did. I don't know what that's all about. You need to hang around spiritual people. Spiritual people. Paul says this. He says, man, I'm not even going to look at anybody natural anymore. Amazing. I'm not going to look at you as just natural because, he says, I realize when you give your life to Jesus, the grace and talent and ability He deposits inside you is spiritual and supernatural. So how dare I look at you as a natural person? He says, I realize the gifting and talent and ability inside everybody is far beyond what I can really comprehend. So I'm going to have to consider that. And realize that I need you, your foot, your hand, your eye, your ear, your finger, your mouth. I need you in my life. And if you refuse that, you'll neglect the connection that God wants to do in and through you as well. The supply that you have to bring is far superior, I think, than you really realize. In Acts chapter 2, just a couple more thoughts here. Look at this scripture on the screen because it's in a different translation. This is after the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is poured out. It's crazy, man. People are turning towards God by thousands of people. Notice what it says. The community continually committed themselves to learning what the apostles taught them, gathering for fellowship, breaking bread, and praying. Everyone felt a sense of awe because the apostles were doing so many signs and wonders among them. There was an intense sense of togetherness among all who believed. They shared all their material possessions and trust. They sold any possessions and goods that didn't benefit the community and used the money to help everyone in need. They were unified as they worshiped at the temple day after day. In homes, they broke bread and shared meals with glad and generous hearts. The new disciples praised God, and they enjoyed the goodwill of all the people of the city. Day after day, the Lord added to their number everyone who was experiencing, it says, liberation. Notice on the screen, it says several of these words there. There was fellowship. There was an intense sense of togetherness. They prayed together. They joined with each other. There was community. They were connected. They gave to each other. They worshiped together. They ate meals together. Let me ask you. Sorry for being so hard. Is that happening in your life? Is that happening in your life? I'm not talking about your family. God bless you. God bless you in your family. And your crazy Uncle Larry and Auntie that man, she, well, you know. I'm talking about in your spiritual family. Here. Is that happening? You fellowshipping? Intense sense of togetherness? You know where to go when all hell breaks loose in your life? Praying together? Say, hey, man, you know, text somebody. Come on, man, I need some prayer up in here. Can you pray for me? Boom, phone rings. You got 3 phone calls, like right now. Right now. Is that happening? Are you worshiping to God together? Not only here, in a circle, out somewhere else. Just like I see people drive. When I leave the parking lot, I see people huddled over, people praying out in the parking lot. I'm going, They get it. Is that happening in your life? If it's not, listen to me. Start making adjustments in your schedule, in your time. Get connected. Man. Seek first the kingdom of God, and He's going to make everything else work in your life. This great author got a cool book. He says this, fellowship aids discipleship. The major problem making disciples is the lack of fellowship. Having a special discipleship class to raise up leaders is not nearly as effective as having a continuous fellowship with other believers in the church. Ties of fellowship contribute to the best face-to-face discipleship. Discipleship naturally occurs in fellowship. Where there is no community, communion, caring for one another, and ministry to one another, disciples are made. So if there's community and caring and connecting, it's easy. I learned how to pray. I learned how to study the Bible hanging around a bunch of dudes in a young adult Bible study when I was 20. I started listening to them pray. I started watching them. I started, hey, what are you reading? Asking questions. And I started growing spiritually, making myself change my schedule so that I could consider one another and fulfill the purpose that God had for my life. Last thought, promise. 10 Commandments. Anybody ever heard of them? Yeah. Can anybody quote them all? No, you can't. Come on now, anyway. Fourth commandment, is this command that says, keep the Sabbath because it's holy. The phrase, of course, the thought comes from on the seventh day, God made the heavens and the earth 6 days. Seventh day, he rested. And so God told Moses in the Old Testament, and we see this parallel in the New Testament, that, you know, on the Sabbath day, rest. And the New Testament now is that we don't necessarily just have to, quote, rest, but guess what we do on our Sabbath? We get together at this thing called the church. And we come together and we worship God. And our kids get taught the Word of God. And people serve and connect with one another here and release the gift and talent ability on the inside of them. And the Bible says it's called the Ten Commandments, not the Ten Suggestions. So he says when the body's connected and the body's apart and the body's joining together, there will be something happen in your life when you come here called a Sabbath. So let me just throw this out to you, and you're here this morning, but maybe you could tell some folks maybe that aren't as frequent as you are. Could you tell them this? Because I've heard this. Man, I'm just so tired. I'm so busy. I'm just gonna stay home, and I'm just gonna take it easy and rest. And I go, wow, you just don't get it. Because when you come to this place called the church and you are assembled, your body's going to get rest in here. Amen. Your soul, worry, fear, afraid, depression, it's going to leave you. You're going to get rest here. Your spirit is going to be refreshed. So when you leave here, you're going to have a deposit made inside you all week to carry you to the next week. Amen. Rest. Remember the Sabbath. Keep it holy. That's what God said. Come on, word to your mother. Right there. Word to your mother. Let us consider one another. Stir up love. Stir up good works. Don't forsake the assembling of yourself together, as is the manner of some. But as you see the day approaching, how many of Jesus coming back soon? Come on. Here's the phrase. I don't know exactly when he's coming back, but he's coming back sooner than he did yesterday. Come on. Right? Right? We might see it in our day, our generation. Maybe we don't. But he's going to come back soon. He's going to come back soon. So we need to be considering one another. I believe with all my heart, you're doing it, and we're making some adjustments, and we're growing spiritually. Amen? Stand up, everybody. Would you do it? Bow your head. Come on. Father God, in Jesus' name, help us move more and more in a relationship with you, closer in communion with you, in community with one another. Father, we pray right now in Jesus' name for this body to continually grow, not only physically, not only numerically, not only influentially, but Father, I pray every person in our body grows spiritually. As we draw near to God, as we hold fast, let us hold fast our confession of hope. Father, then we're going to consider one another. We're going to have the power to consider one another. We thank you for it right now. Come on, just make some adjustments right there in your life. Are you doing that? Is it all just about you, or are you considering others? So, Father, just make some adjustments right now. We're going to get connected, Father. Help us get connected in a circle. Help us get connected with using our gift, talent, ability, and serving. We've got something to give, not only naturally, but spiritually. Show us, Holy Spirit, what it is. We pray today. Right there where your head's bowed, your eyes closed. Maybe you're here for the first time. Maybe you've been here many times with us. But you just say, Pastor Gary, man, you're talking about drawing near to God. And